Pastor John Powell. I'm here with you on Deliverance Today broadcast, where we're sharing the things of God and offering opportunity to get some deliverance here tonight, too, after the message. So I'm glad you're here on this Friday, the 9th month of the year. We're looking at the 16th day of 2022. And I'm glad that we are here with you and hoping that you be blessed tonight with the words of the Lord as we share with you We're going to open up tonight with some news here as we start the program. And I hope you're doing well today and growing in grace. Lila Rose was on the Dr. Phil show, and she says, you want to legislate evil. Lila is a pro-life activist and stands up to and against a pro-choice audience there during that program. A recent one on Dr. Phil, she appeared on Dr. Phil's show and even sparred with Dr. Phil a little bit too, and as well as the audience. Of course, Dr. Phil claimed to be a Christian, but there's not the fruit there that I would say that a Christian should have. But anyway, he's not pro-life, so that'll tell you something about the man anyway. But she said abortion is devastating enough to women's mental health, but no one talks about that. Yeah, no one does talk about that. They don't talk about that. They talk about how convenient it is and how it's the women's right. Yeah, Mike Lindell reportedly has bombshell vote fraud evidence that he has proof of massive voter fraud in 2020. But he was arrested by the FBI at Hardee's this last week here. I mean, this week, I guess it was, wasn't it? Yeah. And the news is out that Americans spent more on taxes, federal, state, and local in 2021 than they spent on food, clothing, and health care combined. Yeah. It's expensive to live in the country. A Satanist is Biden's newest choice and hire. Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis is Biden's new monkeypox response deputy coordinator and has a long and alarming history of Satanism and involvement with Satanism. And now he's on staff of the Biden administration. But is that any wonder? Because, I mean, whether they're admitting there's Satanism going on there or whether they're open Satanists, we know that many are serving Satan, right? Anyway, Baylor University in Texas, Waco, Texas, supposedly the largest Christian Baptist university in the world with 17,000 students, supposedly a Christian university, launched a website on sexuality last week, which appears that they have softened their stand on homosexuality. Yeah, a lot of Christians are doing that, unbiblically, though. The website states that it is committed to providing a caring, loving, and supportive community for students in all aspects of their lives, including the development of their sexuality. And the university president Linda Livingstone announced in a letter to students, faculty, and staff that students wouldn't be disciplined for identifying as LGBTQ. Right, okay. And Beth Moore, who is also pro-LGBTQ, is heading a preaching conference at this gay-affirming university. Wow, how downward so many Christian institutions are going right now. I pray for a righteous revival in this country, a righteous awakening of God's people. If they are God's people, they need to be awakened to righteousness and pray for this nation to turn around in Jesus' name. And I believe it will, but there's a lot of people that don't believe it will. But I believe that God has not forgotten his people. There is a lot of true Christians in this nation still. And that's what some people forget, I guess, that, you know, God's not going to abandon his people. But here we have another ridiculous news item. Gay so-called pastor who advocates for gay sex pills in Baptist newspaper says that Jesus sinned Well, right there, you know he doesn't have his doctrine, right? He couldn't be the sacrifice for sin if he'd ever sinned, right? So, but these pills, he wants to be taxpayer-funded and claim to protect homosexuals who practice unprotected anal sex with random partners. Yeah. Robertson said not to do so is not loving your neighbor. And Jesus committed racism too, and so Jesus sinned. Okay, well, I'm sorry, this man is very confused, and you look at his face and his eyes, you can see the demon definitely dancing around in there, but in my opinion, after looking at his picture, yeah, sad deal, isn't it? You know, a sad situation. Bethel's worship leader, Corey Asbury, has his fingers painted like a woman. And yet the Bible says not to be effeminate in Corinthians. You know, I don't care what you say and how you try to justify it. It's still something that's not recommended. It's in the Word of God, right? And not to be partaken of. But tried to justify it. He put out a little statement and 5-minute statement or so about why he painted it, allowed his fingernails to be painted as a female. But hey, if you're a worship leader in a nationwide, worldwide ministry, I think that you need to walk uprightly. I think the Bible says something about that. I remember in one of the Timothys about how that the elders should conduct themselves, bishops and deacons, and not by painting their fingers like a female. My Governor DeSantis, you may have heard about that, sent 2 plane loads of illegal to Martha's Vineyard, an affluent island there in Massachusetts, where many of the people that live there are billionaires. So Obama has a place there and a number of other liberals. And so Governor Baker brought in the National Guard because of the outcry of these rich people, these liberal rich people. Yeah, I guess, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander, right, in this situation. And so they brought out 125 National Guardsmen to ship the illegal to Cape Cod after an outcry of the liberal rich residents. Oprah also has a home there, vacation home. So, yeah, they're hypocrites. They say to bring in and open wide the borders and do it, but they just don't want them where they're at. Don't bring them where we live. Don't bring them into our neighborhood, they're saying, basically. But they want them to come in and destroy the country and take away the jobs of Americans. And yeah, kind of a two-faced people there. Satanic Temple hosts after-school Satan's Club at a Pennsylvania school in Pennsylvania. So, you know, before the United States had the witch trials, Europe had werewolf trials. And before they had witch trials in Europe also, they had werewolf trials. And people would bring in the werewolf in 1651 in Livonia. Hans was accused, or he's one of a number of people that was accused of being a werewolf. And he had confessed that he had hunted as a werewolf for 2 years. And he claimed he had gotten the body of a wolf from a man in black. Well, who's the man in black? But anyway, there's a number of stories. If you go back and look at it, it's kind of interesting because there's still werewolf spirits today that get in people. I've done deliverance on people that had the werewolf spirit and cast out spirits of werewolves. And so, yeah, it's no wonder to me that this was going on back then, and it still goes on today. So we're living in some strange times. But, you know, one herb that is definitely recommended by many, many books and herbalists, is for circulation or for ringing in the ears, if you tinnitus and different things, vertigo, impairment of memory for your eyes, for complications of strokes and skull injuries, diminished sight and hearing ability due to vascular insufficiency, sensitivity to cold in the toe due to peripheral circulatory insufficiency, Raynaud's disease, hormonal and neural-based disorders, as well as angiopathic trophic disorders, arterial circulatory disturbances due to aging, diabetes, and nicotine abuse. And the list goes on and on. I mean, this herb is really, according to a number of sources, a good herb for many things. And it's ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo biloba, if you haven't heard of it, I have a bottle here in my home. And it certainly has served well for many times. And also some things that I wouldn't put in my body, and that certainly people who know anything about natural food certainly wouldn't put aspartame in their body equal. NutraSweet, I tell you that aspartame, instead of that, I recommend myself is what I use, is stevia. And whenever I want to sweeten something to drink, like if I were to drink a tea, I would put stevia or honey in it. Also hydrogenated oils. Partially hydrogenated oil have pervaded our food supply, found in margarine, cookie, cracker, cereals, non-dairy creamers. They're extremely harmful to the body, and they're far-reaching in their effects. And so, definitely wouldn't want to put that in my body. I know that sometimes when you eat out, you just can't help but get it because they're in so many things. And I don't eat out often, but unfortunately, I do eat out once in a while because people invite me out or eat with family or something that don't feel the same way about their health that we do. But I would definitely avoid white sugar and white flour products myself. That's what I do. And so you have to soda pop on my, definitely avoid that. And there are so many other things that I would avoid, like MSG. I don't use MSG knowingly. I read labels. So, yeah. And if people have herpes, they recommend lysine, people do for that. And certainly it shortens the outbreak. And CoQ10, they recommend for heart trouble. If a person has heart trouble, CoQ10 is very good for that, according to naturopathic doctors, Dr. McCullough, and other doctors that are naturally treating, which, of course, they'd rather you not know about these things. But still, healthy alternatives to going to the medical system that wants to vaccinate everybody and gets money for doing that. Yeah. Well, all right, let's go ahead and then move on into the program here tonight. I'm glad to be with you tonight. Hope that you're happy to be here with us too. We're glad you are. And so we're going to get into the Word here in just a moment. The power of God has come forth through the Word of God as we get into this tonight. And I just believe that Jesus will show up through His Word and minister to those who want to be ministered to and want to receive something tonight. And those who listen later, may not be tonight, but most of the people don't listen live. They listen later has been what we've found in the numbers of listeners. But I do thank God for the live listeners that are here with us tonight. And I appreciate each one of you coming in and making this program and church service here online a good one, a God one. So, Father, we come through you in Jesus' name. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, that you are God Almighty over all and high and lifted up above all. and that Satan doesn't even have a chance against you. You've already defeated him on the cross, and he is a defeated enemy, a defeated foe right now, and you even gave us authority over the devil and all the power of the wicked one, and you tell us about it in your word. So, Lord, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and it may look like they're going to prosper, but they don't, and they will not prevail in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that tonight. We thank you that you're a faithful God and that your ears are open to the prayer of the righteous. We thank you that you hear us when we cry out to you, Father, and Lord, you're hearing us now. And so, Father, I want to just pray tonight, and I'd like everybody to agree with me for this man to be saved, a man in his about 40 years old. I want to pray for his salvation. And would you agree with me for him to be saved? In Jesus' name, we pray for this man, 40-year-old man, that I'll get to meet with. And I hope to be able to lead him to you, Lord. And when I meet with him, I pray that he will be open and that he will receive. I bind the demons that have blinded him and kept him from salvation in the past. And I thank you that his eyes will be truly open and he will receive the Lord as I meet with this man. Thank you for saving him, Lord. And I thank you for saving our loved ones, any of your loved ones that are not saved tonight. As we pray, I want to pray for them. I pray that they will get right with you, Lord, and that they will be born again, that they will have the new birth experience, Father. I thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. We agree together for their salvation as well as this man. I thank you for saving people in this time, Lord. You're not willing that any should perish. So, Father, we just pray for people to come to know you in this time that we're living in right now in this nation, Father, that people will realize they need God like never before, and they will cry out to the living God, Father. And, Lord, I do believe you're not going to throw this nation away. I know a lot of people, you know, I've heard these rapture preachers say, Lord, that America won't be around. You know, they're just going to be destroyed. Well, I'm just not believing that that's going to be the case. It may have some destruction come upon it, but it's not going to be totally destroyed. I'm believing that you have a people here. We may be your wayward son, your wayward child, your wayward daughters, but Lord, you're going to bring us to yourself. You don't abandon your wayward children. You're going to come after us. You love us, and we're important to you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that there will be a moving of your spirit again in this country mightily, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you that, Lord, in these elections, that the wicked will not prevail, Father. I don't care what has to happen, Lord, but I believe in Jesus' name you're going to do what you have to do and answer the cry of your people to turn this around, that the righteous will prevail, and that God's people will be put in office, even though maybe not all of them are Christians yet, but they will do the right thing. They will live the righteous for a righteous cause rather than for a wicked cause, such as abortion and when you just kill all these babies, even after full term, such as in California. Lord, we thank you for turning things around. We bind these wicked spirits that trying to run this country right now. And we say, no, devil, you will not have America. You will not have this country. You will not have this nation in Jesus' name. We just declare it openly and to you devils that are trying to manipulate things to go the way that they want things to go. Well, in Jesus' name, we just send confusion into your camp right now, devil. Confusion into the camp of the enemy. Confusion into the camp of those that stand for evil and darkness and wickedness. And you will just not prevail in the name of Jesus. We declare it. And we say it and speak it out in the authority that you've given us, Lord God Almighty. And we thank you for prevailing, Lord, in this nation. We thank you that righteousness will be brought forth in Jesus' name, and holiness and a change will come to America in Jesus' name, that this wicked, wicked scheme of darkness to destroy this nation will not prevail in the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody agree with me. Say amen. And Father, bless the program tonight. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the fresh oil anointing here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for ministering by the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen again. Amen, amen. All right, here we go. A word of deliverance tonight. The title, A Word of Deliverance. And we're going to talk about the ministering of the Holy Spirit in our lives, too. You know, and it's time to get fired up and filled up to overflowing with the Lord in your life right now. I mean, what are you waiting for? I tell you what, I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for more of God. And I hope that you are too. How many of you want to experience times when you just enter into a place and realize there is nothing here in this place but God? Yeah, wow, wouldn't that be something? Yeah, my flesh isn't ruling here. The flesh has no rulership here. Demons have no rulership here. Adam is not reigning here. That's right. I don't sense that inability anymore to do what God says. I don't feel inadequate. I feel empowered by the Spirit of God. I don't feel any lack in this place. I just sense Jesus. I just sense the Holy Spirit and Him filling me with Himself and His presence. How many would like that? How many need that? How many really want that? You got to want it before you can have it, right? And I believe that's where God wants to take his true people, his true believing people today. That's right. Too many of God's people feel inadequate today. But God has made us accepted in the beloved. He made us worthy. When we feel unworthy, who's telling us that? Now, I realize that of our own self, we are unworthy. But see, we're not of our own self anymore. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and He made us worthy to receive every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. He made us worthy. See, you know what it's like to stand in His presence and sense no guilt and no shame and no condemnation? You know what that's like? Well, you should. It's available to every one of you if you're born again today. You should be able to stand in His presence like that. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. John 3:17. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Did you see that? God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love their darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They love the darkness, therefore they've rejected the light. So they're condemned already, but you and I were not condemned. He didn't come to bring us condemnation. He came to bring us life that we might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned. The one that is condemned is the one that doesn't believe, the one that rejected Jesus. So let's not ever reject Jesus. Amen? Because we don't all walk in any of that condemnation. We don't choose to walk in any of that condemnation. I don't want it. And I don't have it. And I'm not living in it. So don't you live in it. Oh, yeah, the devil can come and try to dump some on us, but listen, do you receive it? You don't have to. John 8:10, when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Again, Jesus did condemn this woman that had been caught in adultery. You know, sinning with men, prostituting herself, whatever she was doing sexually that was wrong. And yet He said, I don't condemn you. Go and don't live in that bondage any longer. You know, in that statement, He released her. He did some deliverance, I believe. But, you know, Jesus doesn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. And once you believe, there's no condemnation in the spirit, see? But if you take condemnation, there are plenty of demons of condemnation that will get on you. And they beat you down if you let it happen. You all sin. I sin. We all sin. So, but we don't have to get under condemnation over it. we can get under some conviction. Conviction is not the same as condemnation. Conviction leads to change. You know, hopefully it will. I mean, some people don't change. They have to go through it many, many, many times before finally the change is worked into their life and they're ready for it. But still, the Lord doesn't condemn them, even if they sinned, what, over and over again. The Lord will still forgive them. And you got to learn that if you're going to be in any kind of marriage relationship today. You got to forgive your marriage mate, your partner in marriage, right? You can't live condemning each other all the time and criticizing each other all the time. It's just counterproductive, and the demons are involved in that, and they won't tear you both apart. You realize what's going on and quit letting that demon go and do that to you every time something comes up. And you do have trouble in the flesh. You do get attacked in the flesh. The Bible says if you marry, you will have trouble in the flesh. You will be attacked. But nevertheless, you know, you don't have to stay in that attack place. You don't have to stay beat down by that attack and then condemned by that attack. You can be an overcomer, see? Because Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He's not the one doing that. The devil's doing that. After you have a difficulty with your spouse, then the devil condemns you and beats you up. So you're going to take that, or you're going to get out of that. You don't have to live in that. Listen. You can only experience the place of no condemnation when you realize that God isn't condemning you for your sins, your failures, your faults, your demons that you still have within you. He's not condemning you for it. And so we need to enter the life where there is nothing but God reigning in the lives of his people. Can a Christian experience that all the time? Well, no, I don't believe that we do all the time, because we live in this limited body that only can take so much of God. I mean, if Jesus were to come into your presence right now, how much of Jesus could you take? How much of God the Father could you take right now if he walked in the room with you in his glorious presence? I mean, even John fell down at his feet when he saw Jesus. It's just overpowering for the natural body, see? And we're going to get a spiritual body that can interact with the spiritual God continually, see? A new body, and that's coming, okay? And so we need to enter into this place where there's nothing but God reigning. And so we don't experience it all the time, but we can experience it more and more to the place where it's more than not. And we need to understand with God, things are not usually instant either. You know, people like instant food, instant credit, instant gratification today, instant, you know, just about everything. They want it instantly. You know, that's why they have finances and high interest rates and all this stuff, so they can get what they lust for instantly. Well, things of God are not instant. I mean, some are, but there's a whole lot of Christians, you know, waiting and thinking that they're going to come a day when presto, bang, boom, wow, there it is, and we're suddenly changed gloriously and all our problems are over forever. And yeah, that'll happen when Jesus comes. But see, that's a deceiving lie to be expecting that that's going to happen in this world system, because we still deal with spiritual conflict daily, see? Because the Bible teaches that we're being changed even now from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But because you're being changed, Paul says you are being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree, changed by day, by week, you know, by month, by year, and on, till that perfect day when Jesus comes back physically. And we get our new body, right? When he comes back in his body and we get our new body, and hallelujah, everything is new. More new than it was when you got born again, because you've got that new spiritual body that can interact with things completely spiritually and never get worn or tired or just can't shut down because it's so spiritual and so God that you can't take it. But you know what? You're not going to experience a quick instant. One day I'm fully in Adam, and the next day I'm showing forth nothing but Jesus in this life. we all still show Adam at times. I mean, all I have to do is just go live with each of you for a month, and I definitely dare say that we're all going to see an amazing amount of Adam and a flesh in glorious manifestations in short order, right? Absolutely, man. I tell you, because, yeah, none of us are completely manifesting Jesus constantly. There are demons still in all of us that still manifest and still cause us some problems. And we're in an overcoming process and delivering process of getting free from these things, right? It's a process, okay? It's not all overnightly. Luke 21:19, it tells us, in your patience possess ye your soul. Impatient, you will overcome your flesh and the soulish rule. Impatient, you will possess the land of the soulish realm, which is the mind, the will, and the emotion, the flesh, and these areas of the heart that are not right, that need to be overcome, even though our spirit is totally right, because the Holy Spirit lives there, but the heart connects the soul to the spirit, and it can have stuff in it that is not necessarily where it needs to be, see, in the heart. Anyway, no, it doesn't happen instantly. It's a matter of his life taking root and growing in us and producing the fruits of his life, right? The fruits of deliverance, the fruits of the spirit, the fruits of growing up spiritually. And notice that it's not the works of the spirit. It's the fruit of the spirit. Okay? Have you ever seen a fruit tree one day with no apples on it and then go out the next day and it is full of full-grown, luscious, delicious fruit? No. Why? Because fruit grows. Fruit grows. A little at a time, it is not necessarily instant. Fruit has to grow in us as well. And it can be a process. Even over a lifetime, as the fruits of the Spirit grow in us, as we allow them to grow, as we allow them to begin to manifest in their fullness more and more and more. But see, how many know that when you're a baby, you're not necessarily manifesting the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You may be manifesting some of the Holy Spirit, but it's not necessarily the fullness of the Spirit. You're growing up, see, from there, and it's a process. Galatians 5:23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's right. And so these fruits are there, some, but they're not all there in their fullness. Even though they're there in your spirit in their fullness, they're not all there manifesting forth out of you in their fullness. And so what is fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things we just read. How many baby Christians do you know who truly walk in the fullness of God's love? How many are fully long-suffering and temperate in all things? I mean, how many are still smoking? And they've been Christian 20 years, they're still smoking. They aren't temperate, not in those things. How many are still having lust problems? They've been Christian 10 years. Huh? How many are fully long-suffering with their brothers and sisters and other people? How many know that even though you've been a Christian all this time, how many are walking in the full joy that you could, or the full peace that you could? See, the Holy Spirit gives those out, and they are the fruits of the Spirit. But how many know that we don't walk in all that gentleness all the time? We don't walk in all that goodness and faith all the time. We walk in it as the Spirit gives it, and as we can receive it, see, because a lot of us are just simply not able to receive it. Because you're not ready to receive it. You've got too much of yourself there. Hello? See, as you grow up into God, into Christ, you'll learn that you and God are one. Whether you know that or not, the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And as you begin to really see that, you see that as one spirit, not in your mentality, not in your flesh, not in your intellect, not in your emotions, but in your spirit, then you begin to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, and they begin to grow in you, okay? But it has to be allowed by you, and it has to be something that you want to take place, because the Holy Spirit is not going to force those fruits to begin to manifest in your life. He's not going to force himself on you. He doesn't do that. He's not forcing his way. John 17:8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. So you've got to receive them and have known surely that I came from thee. This is Jesus talking. And they have believed that thou didst send me. See, this is talking about his disciples, talking about those who received him. See? And reading on verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay, we're set apart by the word. The word is truth. The word of truth. The word of life. And we're also talking the word of deliverance tonight. See? The word of truth. The word of deliverance. The word of life. The word of faith. See? He sets us apart, purified us, not by works, but by his word. Isn't that different? Purified, set apart by a word? I mean, you don't have to do anything. He didn't say, I purified them by their works. A lot of Christians, that's what they believe to this day, even though they got born again. They're going around trying to be purified by their work. They're trying to work harder for God. Do more, so they'll be purified by their work. He never said that. He said, we're purified by the word, not by your works. Okay? I mean, you weren't even saved by works, so how do you think that works are going to save you after you get saved? That isn't going to happen, okay? That's ridiculous, but, you know, they keep going there. But it's by thy word, and if a person will come and get saved and keep coming and listening to the word and reading their word over and over and over, they will be changed. If they have the Spirit of God in them at all, they're going to be changed, right? It's going to do it because the word of truth is what changes us. The word of truth. It's like the word of deliverance. If we stay in deliverance, we're going to keep getting deliverance, okay? While those out there may come mock you and criticize deliverance and talk bad about it, hey, you just stay on in deliverance. I've been staying in deliverance to get delivered for years and years and years. Now I've been in deliverance for 39 years. Still in deliverance, okay? And, yeah, it's a process. I sometimes don't get delivered for a number of months, and then I may go through a season, 3 or 4 coming out, or 10 or 20 coming out, and I may wait a while, but, you know, it just happened. It's a progressive walk. It's a deliverance walk, and it's the word of deliverance that I keep hearing and speaking and receiving, see, just like I keep receiving the word of truth, just like I keep receiving the word of God. And it's a process for your whole lifetime. You never quit eating food, so you never quit eating the spiritual food either. Amen. Amen. I know that the words that I speak will change a person's life, not because I'm anything, but because they are the words of life, see? It's not because I'm anything. It's because I'm speaking the words of God by the Spirit of God. And if you keep hearing those words, your life will be changed. If you receive them, if you act upon them, see, if you take those words in, the word of truth, the word of deliverance, et cetera, et cetera. You know, John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See, the words that are being spoken by God, they are spirit and they are life. And yes, he uses vessels to speak those words. I am being used right now to speak those words of God right now. And if you receive those words, they are spirit and they're life to you. If you don't receive them, then you just do without them. Okay? But get up, keep getting them, whether you get them from me, somewhere else, or on your own, out of the word of God. You've got to get these words. And listen, there is a deliverance word of life. 2, okay, the words of deliverance remove death from your life. The spirits bring death and darkness, and the words of deliverance, the deliverance word of life, they're going to remove those demonic death spirits, right, as we command them out, as they're commanded to leave, see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life is quickening. Life is changing. That's why you can, you know, prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that out there in the religious world, that religious system, within that religious system, there is no life, okay? Because life is always changing. Life is always improving. Life is always growing. And life is always being released by the Spirit of God. But if you get in that religious system, when you're in a place that never changes from year to year, and everything is set in its nice religious place, and they don't want anybody rocking the boat, they got their idols and all, and there is no life in that. And we need to have life. Okay, and if we'll feed on that life, we will be changed. If we will receive that life, we will be changed. If we feed on the life of deliverance, we're going to be delivered, right? As those spirits are cast out, we're going to be delivered. But you're going to be in a dead religious system, and it might look like God, it might look good, it might look like everything's right. But listen, if it's a dead religious system, there is no change there, okay? Yeah. You can be in a life-giving church and just be stubborn and not change. But you know it's not because things are set there. It's because of you. You're set. You're set in your ugly ways, right? And you don't want to change. You're stubborn that way. You've got some generational spirit that you're set with your demon. You're set on them with your demon, okay? Amen. So, remember, fruit grows. Otherwise, you could be fruitless. You don't want to be fruitless. We want to be fruit bearers and let the Holy Spirit bear the fruit through us. Man, he does it. We don't do it. Okay? So let it. You have to let. Listen, we don't have a word of condemnation, folks, today. We don't have a stone in our hand to throw at you or throw at them. No, we bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he in whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. That's good news, right? We bring a good news. We bring a good gospel. Yeah, not a condemnatory gospel. We don't bring a religious gospel. We bring a relationship gospel. We don't have to say turn or burn all the time, you know, even though, yeah, I've done that before. But just present a loving, forgiving, changing, life-changing Christ. He doesn't change, but he changes us, who loves and says, I don't condemn you. Son, daughter, I don't condemn you. I'm just going to change you. I'm just going to mold you and make you and turn you into what I want you to be. It's a process that I'm doing in your life right now because I love you, because I'm committed to you to change you and form you into my image, to what I want you to be. Amen. Will you let him do that in your life? Will you submit to your loving Father and yield to him and his work of grace in you? See, the devil and demons do condemn you, though. And many times Christians don't recognize the difference between Jesus and a demon because they've just not been around Jesus enough to recognize him. How many have listened to devils and say, and just get in agreement with what they tell them? Yeah. Oh, my. I'll come to God later when I... you ever witness to somebody, maybe you were witness to and you said this before you got born again and you did finally get born again, but, you know, I'll come to God later when I've cleaned this up and stopped doing this or that, then I'll go to church or then I'll go listen to the gospel or whatever. Well, they're right where the demons want them, because then they most likely will never stop doing this or that. Or change, because without Jesus, it's very difficult to fix a person. How many know that you can't fix yourself? If you could, you didn't need Jesus, right? Especially when certain demons are living within the person. How can they ever get free when the demons are not going anywhere? We all need a Savior. We all need a deliverer. And without one, real change is not even possible, folks. Come on. Change is done by the Spirit of God, it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, you know, within a person. And if the Spirit of God is not within a person, there is no internal power to really bring about a real change in their life, a permanent lasting change. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. What human has the power of his own self to make himself or herself born again? You don't have that power. It comes from without us. It comes from outside of us. And he comes and lives within us and makes his house within our spirit. But see, we don't have the power to get born again on our own ability. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to let your fruit grow? Are you ready to let that fruit start manifesting? Will you go into that place of God where he can be God and you can be his son or daughter? Will you put off your stubbornness and being set in your ways? I tell you, I see people, the older they get, a lot of them get set in their ways. We can't allow ourselves to be set in our ways. We have to be pliable in the hand of the master potter as he forms us into his image, as he forms us into his likeness. And this is what goes on all our lives. I don't care if you're 90 years old or if you're 20 years old. You need to stay pliable in the hand of the master so he can bring you to where he wants you to be. He can bring those spirits up to the surface and get them out of you. You know, you be willing and obedient. You eat the good of the land. If you rebel, you're not going to eat the good of the land. But the land is the land of milk and honey, and we're living in it right now. But how many know that not everybody's partaking of it? Just because you're in the kingdom of God doesn't mean you're partaking of all the blessings of the kingdom of God. How many know you have to receive and take those things that are given? If you don't, you're not going to have them. So would you just allow yourself to grow? Will you allow the fruit of the Spirit to come forth? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to do what no person can do of human ability and human power? There is so much more, yet unless we allow and we let the Spirit of God, once we're born again, we're going to remain carnal if we don't allow and let the Spirit of God do his work in us. We'll remain carnal, fleshly. In other words, right? Fleshly, what is that? You know what Paul said about the flesh. No good thing dwells in my flesh. And Paul said, I couldn't speak unto you because you are yet carnal. I couldn't speak spiritual truth to you because you're yet carnal. In other words, you're living in your flesh. You're fleshly. Carnal means fleshly. People that are dominantly dominated and demonically ruled to some degree by the flesh. The demons are in the flesh. They're ruling because if you're living in the flesh, you're allowing the demons to rule. Okay? To some degree or another, because carnal means fleshly, and we all should by now know that. You know, we should know what dwells in the flesh too, because you've been listening to this program, right? Come on. And you should know that, and we should be growing and becoming more spiritually minded, right, than we are fleshly minded folks. Come on. Right? Well, if that isn't happening, then I got to say that you're just not seeking God, right? Because you got to see God if you want these things to take place. You got to see, put the word first in your life. You got to put truth first. I remember a time that someone came for a deliverance appointment. They weren't even, someone brought them and they were determined they were going to go. But when they got out in front of the church building, the demons in them wouldn't let them come in the building because they knew what was about to happen. That's right. And I remember another one. They came in the building and they were in the building, but they ran out of the building. The demons didn't want them to get delivered. And yeah, that may seem extreme, and it is compared to some of the appointments that we've had, but it has happened more than once. And I'm telling you, demons often have more control over people than people realize that the demons have. And if you look at society today, you can see that true, but why can't you see that in yourself sometimes? Why can't we see that in ourselves, that demons have more control sometimes than we realize they have? Why don't we recognize that and get out of agreement with those things so they can begin to be broken, their power broken in our lives, and then more easily cast out? See, yeah, the control level of demons in people vary depending upon the person and how much they've yielded themselves to these spirits in the past and the generational antiquities of their family line that had happened and what went on in the lineage and the familiar spirits of the family and all that. And some families, the demons are stronger in the people because they had a stronger foothold in that family line, see? And they're harder to get these people delivered, even though they can be delivered if they really want to be delivered, but they got to really want to be delivered. They got to get out of agreement with the demon, right? So, yeah, it varies depending on a person and depending on all these different factors. There's so many. How many know one of the factors is the words that come out of your own mouth, right? That can keep you from getting delivered. The things that you're saying over yourself, over your family, over your health, your finances, I mean, you got to watch what you say today, because demons are prompting you to say these things, so they have permission to get in you and take a position up inside of you because of the words of your mouth. They have rights by that. And so we've got to be guarding our tongue daily, because we know the devil's always looking to get you to open an opening to them with your mouth, with your tongue. Oh, you just opened your door. You said, I'm probably going to get that cold too. I'm probably going to get in a wreck. I'm probably going to have this happen to me. Just on and on, Oh, my. And you just yielded yourself to these spirits, right? Oh, yeah. Some people, some Christians, the demons have so much control over them that it's often difficult to see and differentiate between the person and the demons, who is really talking and expressing themselves. Nursing home is a good example. My wife used to work in a nursing home, and I used to visit different nursing homes and minister in these nursing homes. To people who was willing for me to minister. I've held church services in nursing homes before. But there are people who have yielded so long and for so many years to the demons that the demons are manifesting and living their natures out mostly in these people's lives, more than the personality. The demon has pretty much taken over. The person is still there, and you see them at times. But there are many times that you don't even see the real person. You just see the manifestation of demons. Is it any wonder that senior people in these nursing homes are running around from room to room having sex with each other? Demons are in manifestation. How can that be going on and doing perverted things in there? Yeah. Well, it's no wonder. Come on, people. It seems mostly the demons instead of the person. I so often see the spirit of fear. I'm going to talk about that a minute because, I've seen it in manifestation in believers so often. I remember recently one lady who her husband was out of town, and she was so fearful. He was flying home. He was out of town, out of state, and she was afraid he wouldn't get home. Oh my, she was terrorized. Fear just tied her up. See? Demons at work in so many where fear is involved, I tell you. The way they act and the things they say, they're dead giveaways if the Christian is in fear. Dead giveaways. Their actions, their words, they're easily revealed, the demons and their control that they have. You can listen to a conversation with a fellow Christian, and you can hear and see demons in that manifestation within the conversation. Fear spirits, they continually reveal themselves. And the problem is that so many Christians have them. So many Christians are walking around with fear, and the Word of God is telling us, wait a minute. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He says, fear not, fear not, fear not, throughout the Word of God. And yet we do the opposite. We get in fear so easily. Now, it's not a sin to get tempted to get in fear. I remember I was tempted to get in fear not too long back when I was flying across country in a small plane, flying the plane, But the devil was lying to me, see? And I said, I rebuke you. Jesus said, take this trip. I'm going to take this trip. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get back. Okay, it's all going to be done, right? It's all going to be fine. And sure it was, but, it doesn't mean that we aren't going to get tempted to fear. Everybody gets tempted to fear, but I'm not going to take that spirit of fear when he comes bringing and knocking on my door with it. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to live in it like that woman was doing, that Christian woman, that dear Christian woman walking around in fear. I'm not condemning her, okay? I'm not condemning all the Christians that I've known for all these years of pastoring that are walking around bound by a spirit of fear. I used to be bound by a spirit of fear, but I got it cast out of me. I have fear of the dark. Got that thing cast out. Now I walk around in the dark, and it's no problem at all. I don't even need a flashlight. I might take one just to keep from running into something sometimes, but if I know my way in the dark, I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. But I used to be fearful of the dark. I had that demon in me, see? But it was cast out, and now not afraid of the dark at all. And so, but how many are still? How many are afraid of this, that, or the other? How many bound by these spirits of fear? Too many Christians. And the Bible says, fear not, continually throughout the word. When are we going to get it? Satan is a liar. And I remember just even this week, we almost had an accident. And we were out driving, a car almost hit us, and it was so fast that, man, I really had to think about that after it happened. You know, I thought, man, whoa, thinking through, whoa, I mean, what just happened? It was an angel that delivered us from a serious attempted accident, a serious wreck that it could have been if, you know, the angels weren't there in a fast instant. I mean, just like that. And well, afterwards, of course, I recognized, you know, what the enemy trying to tempt with was fear even afterward. But I rebuked that, of course, and still receive it. But hey, you know, God protected me, and He's not going to abandon me. He protected me all these years. You know, you got to put yourself in remembrance. Hasn't God protected you all these years? And I know sometimes the devil gets through with an attack, and sometimes, but for various reasons, which I don't have time to get into all the reasons that the devil gets through for an attack sometimes in your life, but no, devil, I'm going to keep on driving. But I know people that have had accidents and they quit driving and their trauma spirits have attacked them. I know a woman who wouldn't drive or go out of the town that she lived in because of fear, afraid to leave the false security of her own town. But how many know a lot of things could happen to her in her own town? You're not protected in your own town. Somebody could break into her house and kill her. I mean, come on, rape her or something. So don't think you're secure because you won't leave your town. I mean, that is ridiculous. But see, that was her realm of security. See, that was what she thought. See, that's what the demons had convinced her, but she could never leave her town, and she could never drive around in their town because it was so fearful because, you know, something might happen to her. I mean, come on, people, come on. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. What's going on here? Fear, fear, fear. Christians will say they're not in fear, but I could see they're in fear. You could tell me you're not in fear, but I could see when they're in fear. I could see the spirits in manifestation. You can't fool, you know, somebody who has discernment of spirits. Not normally, anyway. I mean, there are deceiving spirits out there, okay? I mean, some people, you know, they're chewing on their nails because of fear. They're biting their lips because of fear. They toss and turn at night because of fear. They have high anxiety of their life because they're worrying about things at work or worrying about things with their family. The Bible says what to do about all that stuff. He said, you cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Not to just sit there and just wallow around in those cares. On what can you do about them, right? What are you going to be able to do about those things? Can you really fix all that? Really? You going to fix all that? I'd say cast them on the Lord. He cares about you. You know the Lord cares about you, right? And if the Lord cares about you, you think He can't take care of you? You've got to put your life in His hands right now. Listen, that's the best place. If you haven't done that, that's the best place for your life to be. My life is in the hands of the Lord. He protected me this week, the angels of the Lord. And I wasn't even praying when it happened. I mean, I just was in the hands of the Lord. The devil tried to take us out. It didn't happen. See? Didn't happen. Okay? And so that isn't the first time He tried to take us out, okay? But the Lord is protecting us. His angels of the Lord encamp round about me. I know the words. See, I'll just speak the word. I speak the word over my life every day. I speak the word. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's not going to win. And you can speak the same thing, saints. What are you doing? If you're speaking all that other stuff, you know, you have to rebuke some people, some of your friends sometimes. You might have to rebuke them and say, hey, you shouldn't be saying all that stuff. And you know, some people might get a little offended, but you know what? Hey, you're just speaking death over your life. Do you ever think about that? I just want to help you. Can I pray for you about your tongue? Can I pray with you about that? Can I give you a word from the Bible that says, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue? Maybe we, you know, I care enough about you that I'm going to tell you about your tongue. You know, what you're doing to yourself, what you're setting yourself up for in your life, by your own mouth, you're setting yourself up for garbage to happen to you. See, I mean, we could be our own worst enemy. How many know that's the truth? We could be our own worst enemy by the things we say with our own mouth. I had to rebuke somebody about that not too recently. In fact, the Lord told me to say it to them, and I did, and they said, thank you, but not everybody says thank you. some people get offended and, oh, well, poor baby, you know. I mean, come on, grow up. You know, what are we for but to exhort one another while it's called today? The Bible says to do that as a Christian, to exhort one another daily while it's called today. We need to build each other up. We need to help each other. We need to speak the word to one another, not in a mean way, but just in a caring way, right? We care for our brothers and sisters. We got to love them and care for them. And if we see them going through a train wreck, we got to say, warn them about the train wreck that's coming, man. You're headed for a train wreck, brother, sister. You keep going that way, you're going to wreck. I mean, you're going to wreck your own life. You're sabotaging yourself. You're letting them demons influence you so much that you sabotage you, self-sabotaging. I mean, self-sabotaging is a big demon, right, for a lot of Christians, because they're doing it all the time. They're yielding to that spirit all the time, and they're just sabotaging their own life by the words of their mouth, by the things they do, the things they say, the way they function daily in life. They don't realize that they're so influenced under the, you know, that they're living under the influence of these spirits. They don't recognize that. You got to have discernment to recognize these things. Ask God to give you discernment about the spirits that are operating in your life. You know, people are troubled today and in fear. Some people are in fear about their marriage, and they think they're going to fix their marriage, and yet they can't fix their marriage. You can't change your mate. You can't change people. You can give up on that. A lot of women, they've married and justified in their mind marrying a man that they thought, well, he'll change after I marry him. Well, that's wrong. How many know that he's on his best behavior while you're dating the guy? And once you marry him, once he catches you, you got his prey. He got the one he was chasing after. He got what he was fishing for. He's not going to change. If he wouldn't change before, he sure ain't going to change afterwards. If anything, they'll get worse. Why? Because they captured their prey, so they don't try as hard anymore, right? And if you're marrying an unbeliever thinking you're spiritual enough to get him saved, and you're just going to determine you're going to marry this unbeliever to get him saved, and they're just, everything's going to be all right, you may be in for a rude awakening, okay? And I'm not cursing you, but I know a lot of Christian women that married unchristian men, and they have never gotten saved, okay? Not to say that they won't ever get saved, but they hadn't yet, right? So, hey, yeah, believe for them to get saved. If you're in that kind of condition today and you married an unbeliever and if your husband or your wife did get saved, well, believe and bind the demon and go against it, do warfare. But listen, you shouldn't have married him in the first place. Didn't you have a check in your spirit, or were you just so love-struck by that demon? You know, some Cupid devil or something like that. Cupid is demonic, and all that demonic. Valentine's Day is demonic. If you study it out and you find out what it's really about, you recognize that. But that's a whole other story. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But Paul said, I die daily, folks. So daily we need to learn to die to our wants, to our lust, to the things that the enemy wants to do in our life, and put those demons up in their place in Jesus' name and cast them out. Listen, you know what? How many know that the dead person is not afraid, not walking around in fear? Listen, I'm going to have to say that a lot of Christians aren't dead today. They haven't died daily like Paul did. You know, Paul said, I die daily, because if they were dead, how many know? Come on, how many know they would be walking around in fear all the time? Well, a dead man or a dead woman, they don't fear anything. You go to a graveyard, they're not afraid. They're just in the grave. They're just laying there. Of course, their spirit's gone. But, I mean, you know what I mean by dead man. Dead woman, they're not afraid. They're not walking around in fear. In fact, they're not walking around at all. Their spirit is up with Jesus, but that's another story. Okay? But Paul said, I die daily. And we need to learn to die to this stuff. We need to learn to die to that fear and the control that fear has over you, and cast that thing out. Get it cast out. You can't cast it out, get somebody else to cast it out, but get it out. You say, well, what hope do I have? Listen, if God doesn't work change into a person, they aren't going to change very much. Now, granted, there's little power to change in humanity, but not much. No matter how much one kicks and screams, right? Jesus can change people, but people have to be willing. And I mean, no, many are not willing because they have demons that don't want them to change. Right, and they may be in agreement with that demon. They might enjoy what the demon does in their life. And if they're enjoying what the demon doing in their life, I may know there's not a lot of change going to take place because they're in agreement with the demon. And until you get out of agreement with a demon, I may know demons don't leave just because you want them to leave, because if you're still in agreement with them, you are not out of agreement with them, and they don't have to leave. I can cast out demons all day long out of somebody, and they're just going to come right back if they go at all, because the person's in agreement with the demon. And I've had people like that come in for deliverance, and they were in agreement with their demon, and they didn't get much deliverance because of that. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, and I'm sad to say that, but listen, if people can't get out of agreement with their demons, they might well not come in and get deliverance, right? Because they're just going to stay there or come right back after they leave because they never got out of agreement with those demons. They like their demons. And you say, how could a Christian like their demons? Well, I've known plenty of them who do. I've known plenty of them who like their demons. They like what the demon's doing in their life. They get the feelings that the demons have. They feel the character of the demon. They feel the personality of the demon, and something in them gets in agreement with that personality of that demon, and they like it. Now, how can that be? Isn't that kind of perverted? Well, I guess it is, but hey, people do perverted things. How many know that? The human race is desperately wicked, the Bible says about the human race. Huh? Come on, look at Israel and think, you know, if people today are not just about the same as Israel was, right? They were supposed to be God's chosen people. But if you look at Israel, let's go over, read a scripture here, Ezekiel 33:31. Ezekiel 33:31. I'm going to read a verse here, a couple verses, 31 and 32. Okay? Are you there yet? Okay. And they come unto thee, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. In other words, they will not act upon them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their own covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words. In other words, they go to the concert, but they don't do any changing in them. They hear thy words, but they do them not. I mean, you go to a good concert, oh, they really play well, and that sounds great, you know. You go to a good sermon, that was a good word, pastor, good word, evangelist or prophet or whoever it is that speaks, you know, that was a good word, teacher. Yeah, I like that. That was nice. That's beautiful. You have skills like that skilled musician by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's wonderful, but they don't do anything with it. I've known many like that. They hear the word, it goes in one ear out the other. That's about it. Oh, that was good. Good word, pastor. And not some changes in their life. No different. They didn't let it take root in them. They didn't let a change take place. They didn't let the word begin to do a good work. Too much of a church is like this today. They hear the good word preached week after week, but there's no change. Beautiful sermon, but they still go selfishly after their own way. What's the problem here? Anyway, one of the problems is people don't want to change. Don't rock my boat, right? So God doesn't change them. You have to want to change before it'll happen. They like I said about the demons, they don't want to get rid of their demons either, you know? And some do. And praise God, I'm here for those who do want to get free, for those who do want to be delivered. And Jesus is looking for those who are hungry and thirsty. Those who are hungry and thirsty for Jesus. Those who are hungry and thirsty to be delivered. Those who are hungry and thirsty for the power of God to be poured out on them. See? His power to change a human being into his image to be poured out in their life. Listen, I'm not just, you know, here tonight to provide a religious education session, you know. I'm not here for the religious education. I'm not religious. I don't want to be religious. I'm anointed by the Spirit of God. That's not religious. You know, I'm here to build the relationship in your life, to help it get built in Christ Jesus by the work of the Spirit in you. I'm here to encourage spiritual transformation that only can take place by the Spirit of God working in you. I mean, think about this one. Judas heard all about Jesus. He heard all of Jesus' sermon, perhaps. And that ought to be a sobering thought. You know, he heard them all. And yet he still betrayed Jesus. And he was still a thief. Still robbing the treasury. And they had so much in the treasury. Evidently, the other disciples didn't notice that it was being robbed. Now, Jesus knew. You can't hide from Jesus. You think that anybody can hide from Jesus? Yeah. So obviously, not about hearing a good thing, a God thing. It's about allowing God by his grace to get in your life and transform it from glory to glory from the inside out by the Spirit of God that's living in you. Because Judas heard the good thing day after day. He saw the miracles, the signs and wonders. People could see miracles, signs and wonders that still not change. Judas did. But no, God's looking for a living sacrifice. He's looking for somebody to truly lay down their life and give it to him. Like it says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable services, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May I remind you all, you are not your own anymore. You belong to Jesus. You're not your own anymore. You have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ, Jesus. So your duty is to present your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord so he can, by his grace, change you by his Spirit from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Oh, yeah, we think that we know so much, but we know so little. Come on. We think we know so much, but we all know so little. Compared to what God knows? Come on, really? We think we know what's best for our little spouse or our big spouse, whatever size they are, our children, ourselves. You think you know what's best? You know what I say about that? Pride, what I say. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, 1, knowledge puffeth up. You think you know so much, you're going to get puffed up. All your so-called human knowledge will just puff you up and keep you from God's best because you'd be determined to have it your way. Knowledge can make a person arrogant. Huh? Knowledge can make a person arrogant. And they are. Because they get in pride. That's right. You know, I reminded of a man that I loved and cared for and pastored for a while. I used to pastor him, and we got a call one week, and he was on his deathbed and died. And we had met them probably almost 30 years ago now or more and led them out of religion into true spirituality. And they were both baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they were both excited. I led his two youngest to the Lord and into the Holy Spirit, baptized them. Well, they were part of our church for several years, and then suddenly he got into rebellion and got puffed up. And soon after that started happening, he got into error with a white supremacist group out of Colorado, and he then tried to tell us that Hitler never killed any Jews and the Holocaust was all made up and there were never any Jews in prison and never any death camps. And, well, he never got right after that. And the children got into terrible shape and became alcoholics and a lot of children out of wedlock, and he died young at 66 years old. And I grieved and been so sad because I loved this man and loved his wife and family, and they were dear to us. And I remember after his death, we saw her again. I think she came to one of my conferences or something, but she said, oh yeah, I remember those days. All those years ago, they were so wonderful and so special. See, those days were the days that they had received the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, deliverance, and taught on deliverance and taught on these things of God, and were partaking of that until the deception got the best and rebellion got the best, and it got puffed up. He got puffed up and took his wife out and family. And yeah. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. Don't go your own way. Go God's way. That's right. Make sure you go God's way. Make sure you die daily. Make sure you humble yourself, and humbling yourself is becoming totally dependent upon God, right? That's true humility, total dependence on God every day of your life. That's what walking in true humility is about. And so go to that place where you are that way, right? And how do I do that, Pastor? Well, you learn to die, right? That's right. Just as Paul, the apostle, said. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. So you know the location, so you can have it from the word, not just me quoting it. It said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Yeah, that's one place. Daily we must die to our wayward ways, the ways of the demons that are still attached to us. The way of man is always trying to go it its own way and depart from the way of God. They're just prone to do that because the flesh is still there, and the flesh still has to be, you know, crucified daily. You have to put that flesh and crucify. You have to tell it, you're not going to rule over me. I'm going to put you to death. You're not going to rule those demons that are attached to the flesh. They're trying to rule over you. No. Casting down the vain imagination, all those high things in that flesh, all those high things that try to root out into the mind and set up its strongholds in the mind, the will, the emotions. Yeah. The way of man, always trying to depart from the faith. Mankind is prone to wander, believe it or not. It is true. Like a little child, like a sheep from the shepherd. They always want to wander out there. Oh, the grass is greener over here in this Mormonism or in this Jehovah Witnessism. Yeah, or over in Christian Scientists or over here in the woke society. Or no, it's not greener over there. No, you're going to just find nothing but dead grass and deception. And it's all a mirage that Satan has painted for you. That's right. Like a little child, if a parent doesn't watch over them, they could easily wander out into the street or even get lost. How many times have we seen that on the news? How many times do you hear on the microphone in a store, oh, we have a child here, the mother of so-and-so or this little one. If you've lost your child, will you come and pick this little one up here? Right. It happens. On a regular basis, they wander. Little children like to run away from the parents, and little sheep like to run away from the shepherd. We don't think that we know what's best. We don't know what's best. Jesus knows what's best. And if we don't submit to our parents, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we'll wander too. And we could end up getting lost in life and missing his plan and his best for us. And we don't want that to happen. We could even get run over by satanic forces and satanic plans for us. We don't want that to happen. I remember Elvis said he was supposed to be a preacher. He said he believed he was called to be a preacher. Well, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Devils happen. And devils can happen to anyone. Another one that said he was called to be a preacher, Andy Griffin, he said he was called to be a preacher. Well, he might have looked like a wholesome person and all, but he wasn't a Christian. As far as we know, he went to hell. But I don't know. He might have repented and got saved. I don't know. Yeah, Jehovah's Witness cult, Mormons, target Baptists. I remember they were always after the Baptists when I pastored in Idaho. You know, and they bragged about how they had so many Baptists came in, became converts to Mormonism. Well, they must not have known the word, or that once saved, always saved doctrine deceived them, I tell you. But are you going to miss what God calls your life to be, like Andy Griffin and Elvis did? And there are many others. I just picked two old ones here. But the tree Adam and Eve partook of was both good and evil. And the good looks really good, and even it could look really godly and holy and religious and all that, but they still ate of the wrong tree no matter how good it looked, because they were forbidden to eat of that tree. No matter how good it looked, it was still the wrong tree, always going to be the wrong tree, never would be the right tree. And no wonder Satan told them to eat of that tree. And Jesus is the tree of life, and Jesus said, if you eat me, you will never die. You will live by me and from me forever. I tell you what does that mean to eat Jesus? He said a lot of them wouldn't even follow him after he said that. To have an angel bring a chunk of Jesus down from heaven for you to cook over your evening meal and eat, is that what it means? No. No, it means to assimilate him. It means to eat the words of the Bible into us and feast upon him. It means to meditate upon him and his word and to eat them. And to have them consume us until we become what they are, because you are what you eat. And to eat his flesh and to drink his blood in communion, that's a spiritual eating of Jesus, because it's a spiritual kingdom. And you, as you go and you take that bread, and the bread that was, his body was broken for you. You're taking spiritually that very life of that body that was broken for you, and you're eating of that. If you don't do that, you have no part in him, he said. And you take that type of the blood, that which is the spiritual drinking of the blood of Jesus, that you're drinking, that you're drinking in of him. See, you're drinking. If you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part in me. So that's how serious that is, see? So we need to receive that. What he is, we take it into us. And then we're going to be transformed and become like our Lord. The Bible said he was the firstborn among many brethren, right? We all his brethren and sisters, right? We're all, he's the firstborn among many brethren, and we're of that brethren, praise God, today. Isn't that awesome? I mean, these truths are all throughout the Word of God. You don't have to dig too deep to start finding them, okay? For him whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Hallelujah. 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 See, we need to meditate upon his word and have those words fill us, consume us, and transform us, and they will. They have the power within them to do that. And that only happened through death, but it's not you killing yourself. That doesn't work. But if we, through the Holy Spirit, put to death the works and the ways of the flesh and of the demons and all the darkness there, we shall live a new and transformed life. What does it say in Romans 8:13? Let's read it. Romans 8:13 tells us, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. Huh? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's who we are. That's what we are. But it's powerful. And if you recognize who you are, just the fact of recognition will transform you. Only through the Spirit. You can't kill him, but Jesus can. Through the Holy Spirit, we are transformed. Through the Holy Spirit, we put to death the flesh and all the deeds of the flesh. And see, we are changed and saved, number one, by having a will and a desire to change. Number two, by his Spirit, his life force in us, not by our conduct, not by our doing good from the tree of knowledge of good. And then that will puff us up in religious pride, not by one trying to walk a certain kind of walk or do a certain kind of principle or formulas from some preacher. No, by his very life force itself that's living within us today, as we are changed by it, by him within us. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, not a new set of rules and regulations and laws. He didn't say, I'm come that you might have a law. You know, he gave the law under Moses, and that didn't work. So he said, I'm come that you might have life. He's ready to give you the life now, because the law didn't bring you, the law didn't bring you the life. It just was a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, to bring you to the life. Amen. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not a new set of rules, not another Ten Commandments, not another law, not another bunch of regulations and rules. No, I'm bringing you life itself, the Zoe life of God. Oh, and that low, that's the only thing that can change us. You know, you can't change yourself. You can't get in the Word more and just say, I'm going to fix me now. I read the Bible, and now I'm going to change myself. No, you can't. But the Spirit of God can, and the Spirit of God will if you're willing. And you want that change to take place, but it has to be by the Holy Spirit. Adam must die. The old nature and his selfish ways, and every time you truly submit to him and fellowship with Jesus in his presence, there is a killing aspect, a killing of your flesh, a bringing forth of more of his life in you. There's a killing and a death process, you know, because he brings life to you, which brings death to the flesh. So give up on changing your spouse. Let God work on them. Let God change you and let him change them. He alone is going to fix us. He's going to fix all of us if we let him. But we need to give him permission. Are you willing to give him permission today and not wander away? You know, a lot of people are wandering away when they should be wondering about the glories of their wondrous Lord. Oh, look what God is doing. You know? Oh, we will wonder at his greatness, at his glory, at his wonderful faith that he put in each of us, a measure of faith that can grow, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God that can bring and move mountains if we'll exercise it, if we'll use it, and walk by it, and speak by it, and act by it. Faith, right? Faith without action is dead. That's what it says in the Word of God. When it says faith is without works, it doesn't mean you have to work to make faith work. No, it means that faith without action is dead. That's what the works mean. It means action. You have to act like you believe it, right? Come on, folks. This is simple stuff here. This is not complicated, but I'm stopping right here because I can't go on and on or we wouldn't have time to do the deliverance session. Father, we thank you for the powerful words tonight that were spoken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, and we pray that they hit the target they were supposed to hit in whoever that was and all the whoever's that it was and will be yet when people listen to the program as the numbers just keep going up on the who listens later. The longer the program is posted, you bring more to listen. So, Father, we thank you for all the listeners who listen, and thank you that the anointing will be fresh when they listen, even if they listen a year from now, or whenever they listen to these programs, a week, a year, a month, whatever. We just thank you, Lord, for fresh oil anointing anytime that people open themselves up to receive from you. And thank you for using me to share this word tonight, Father. And I thank you that those who hear it will also share these words and other words that they get too and will make a difference in people's lives by the power of the Spirit in them and the power of the Spirit working on other people. We thank you for these mighty things that you're doing right now, Father. We thank you for your work of grace in our lives that, Lord, we're not the same we used to be. And we're not going to be the same as we are today in a future date because you're going to keep working on us till you come. We thank you for the work of grace in our lives and truth in our lives, the power that's taking place right now in us. We praise you for it. We worship you for it. We honor you for it, God. We give you great honor, for you are worthy of all honor and praise, Lord, and we worship you for it. Thank you, Jesus, today, in Jesus' name. And we ask you to bless our time and deliverance here tonight as we go and do some deliverance tonight. We thank you for working deliverance into our lives in a mighty way, Father, and getting us free from the things that continue to be a hindrance in our lives, so they will no longer continue to be a hindrance in our lives as we continue to get delivered, Father, by your Spirit working in us, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments here as we will go and take a little intermission and come back. Cause me to know
day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come against a spirit of blindness tonight, physical blindness we're talking about tonight. The enemy has attacked your eyes. We rebuke every attack on your eyes right now. Macular degeneration. We come against that. Every eye, the disease of the eye, every attack on the eyes, in Jesus' name. We come against cataracts. We come against every thighs and different things that attack the eye. Spirit of blindness, too. We rebuke you. We break the curses over your eyes in Jesus' name and command them to come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of those eyes in Jesus' name. Come out of the eyes right now. We bind you. We bind the attacks on people's eyesight right now in the name of Jesus. You get out of their eyes right now in the name of Jesus right now, all the way out of people's eyes. In Jesus' name, we cover the eyes with the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you and I will see all the days of our lives without any attacks on these eyes that will prevail in Jesus' name. So we command healing in the eyes as well as deliverance for the eyes. Any spirits that's attacking the eyes, you come out right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out of the eyes right now. Come out of the eyes right now. Out, come out, come out. I cover the eyes with the blood of Jesus. I attack these demons with the blood in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the eyes right now. Come out of the eyesight. Come out of the area of the brain that works with the eyes. Come out of there and make you see in your brain all what the eyes see. Come out all the way out. You see with your brain. Come out all the way out of there. Come out, 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 come out. We attack the deterioration of the retina. We break that curse off of you. Come out. Come out. All these attacks on the eyes. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out of the eyes. In Jesus' name, a spirit of blindness, spirit of deafness, you come out. Spirit of deafness, you come out in Jesus' name. Go, all the spirit of deafness, trying to make it hard of hearing for you, trying to attack your ears. Come out of the ears, spirit of hearing, ringing in the ears. Come out of the ears right now. Come out, tinnitus. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of the ears right now. Come out, deafness. Come out of the ears in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out of the ears right now. Go, 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 go. All the way out. We break curses over the ears in Jesus' name. Deaf curses, deaf and dumb curses. We break them. Come out of the ears. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Hard of hearing. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, in the name of Jesus, right now, all the way out, go, 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 thyroid problems, come out of the thyroid, hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, come out, all the way out, all the spirits that attack the thyroid, come out of the thyroid gland, come out of the thyroid gland, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. And thyroid gland, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed, be whole, completely in the name of Jesus. Restoration, creative restoration of the thyroid in Jesus' name, and of the hearing in the ears. Be open, the ears that are hard of hearing. Be open in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name. Arthritis, you go. We break the curse of arthritis. You come out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out, arthritis. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Come out, fibromyalgia. You come out. Fibromyalgia. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Fibromyalgia. Go, go, go. All that fibromyalgia, all that arthritis, come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out of there. Go, go, go. All that arthritis. We break the curse of arthritis over you. Go. In Jesus' name. 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 Herbalists recommend alfalfa for arthritis, but we also got to cast out the spirit too, and we got to see it healed too in Jesus' name. So, yeah, you could do things the natural way, but I'd rather do the spiritual way. Jesus will deliver us from every wicked thing, right? And this is wickedness, arthritis, and sometimes it's there because of unforgiveness. If there's someone you need to forgive, forgive them. You have to go. All that arthritis, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way. In Jesus' name. We break the curse in Jesus' name. All the way. Warts in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All those wart spirits. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All those warts in Jesus' name. All the way. Go, 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 go. All the warts we just command the hormonal system to be balanced in Jesus' name. Any demons that are wreaking havoc on your hormones, we command those spirits to get out of the hormone system, get out of the hormonal system, the lymphatic system. Get out of there right now in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All prostatitis problems, prostate problems, come out of the prostate, go all the way out, go, 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 come out of the prostate, demons in the prostate, come out of there, all the way up out of there, go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, come out of there, come out of the colon problems, intestinal problems, and you know, the diverticulitis, you come out of there right now. We rebuke you all the way out, all the way out. Go, go, go. Dizziness, you come out. Spirit of dizziness in the body, trying to make people dizzy. Come out of there all the way out, all the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. All that dizziness, come out. All that dizzy spirit, I bind you. Come out. We break your hold. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We're just attacking things that have hit the body tonight. Yeah, for a while, and we may go something else in a minute. But the spirits that are attacking the nervous system, you come out of there. That nervousness, tension, all the things in the nervous system, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Headaches, come out. 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 Athlete's foot, fungus, go. We curse that fungus, command it to dry up, disappear. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Go, 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 go. We break any curses of fungus, the proneness to fungus, and athlete's feet and all that fungus. Jesus' name. You gotta go. You gotta go. You gotta go. Come out. 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 All that nervous tension, come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, we speak calmness to the nerves right now. Calmness to the nervous system. You gotta go. All that nervous tension, come out. Come out. Being high strung, come out. That fear of being high strung, come out. 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 High strung. You gotta go right now. Come out. We bind that spirit of being high strung. Cough a few times. Get it moving. All the way out. Take a couple of coughs. Take a couple of deep people. Couple of deep breaths. Come out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Whew, all the way out. We blow those demons out. They're in the air. The pneuma. They come out in the pneuma. The breath, the air, the wind. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we come against the spirit that make bad blood in the body. We thank you for healthy blood in the body, and we command the spirit to get out of the blood right now. Get out of your blood, all the way out, that make bad blood, unhealthy blood. You come out of there, you foul demons, you come out of the blood right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out of the blood, all the way out. Bleeding in the body, come out. Bowel bleeding, bleeding in the intestines, come out, all the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All cancer spirits, come out right now. We break the curse of cancer. All that cancer has to come out now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the cancer. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go. All that cancer. Go, go, go. Go. In Jesus' name. Gallbladder problem. Come out of the gallbladder. Come out. Come on. All the way out of the gallbladder. Come out. 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 Up and out of the gallbladder. Come out. Gallbladder problems. Come out of the gallbladder. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out. All the anemia, come out. A weakened immune system, come out of the immune system. Anemic, come out, 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 all the way out. All that anemia, come out. In Jesus' name, go all the way. Go. In Jesus' name, come on out, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Go, 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 go. All that weak immune system, all those demons trying to destroy your immune system. All the way out of there, all the way out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Heart trouble, come out of the heart right now. All that heart trouble, come out in Jesus' name. Stroke spirits, come out. Poor circulation, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out of Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Up and out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out. All the way out. That spirit of fatigue, you come out. Fatigue. All that fatigue, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, fatigue. All that spirit of fatigue, tired all the time, come out. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out, come out. Come out, come out, fatigue, come out. Diabetes, come out. We break the curse, generational curses of diabetes. Come out, diabetes, come out. All the way out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way out. All that diabetes, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, come 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 out. Keep coming out, all the way out, up and out, up and out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way. Keep coming out, keep coming out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Keep going, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, the blood of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have to go. Sleeplessness, you come out. Insomnia, come out. Insomnia, come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Sleeplessness, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Come on, all that insomnia, can't sleep at night. Come out, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, in Jesus' name. We rebuke that sleepless spirit. You come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Keep coming out, keep coming out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus against fear. Let's deal fear, too, while we're dealing with physical things, too. That fear. That fear can affect your whole body and can bring destruction on your body. If you live in fear all the time over something, we rebuke the spirit of fear right now. Come out. come out, 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 come out. By the way, taking vanadyl sulfate has been proven to reverse diabetes in laboratory animals. So vanadyl sulfate has been proven to reverse diabetes in the animal, laboratory animal that they were doing experiments on. But it is not something that, but that's just the information there that I got about that. But anyway, keep coming out, all the way out. Fear, you have to go. All that fear, come out, 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 come out. Come out, all the way out, all those fear spirits, fearful spirits, come out, 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 all the way out, in Jesus' name. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 come out. Come out, fear, every kind of fear. You got to go. All those fear, we're talking to you. The blood of Jesus against these fear spirits. Come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way out. All the trauma that came in through something that traumatic happened, you come out. All that trauma, come out. All that trauma. We rebuke the spirit of trauma. Come out of there right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, we command you to loose them and let them go. All that trauma from a traumatic experience, a car wreck or something terrible, someone dying or something that really happened that brought trauma and allowed trauma into your life, abuse or whatever it was, you come out of there. All that trauma. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Keep coming out of there, all trauma, in Jesus' name. The blood is against that trauma right now, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 in Jesus' name, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out of there, all the way out of there. All the way out of there. Go, go. All the trauma from abuse, all the trauma from being mistreated as a child and maybe even being raped as a child. Come out of there. All the way out. Come out. All that trauma. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way. Keep coming out. All that trauma. In Jesus' name. All the way out. The blood is against the trauma. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. The mental disturbances. You come out of there. Mentally disturbed spirit. God has you mentally disturbed. You come out of there. All the way out. Keep coming out of there. All the way out. The blackout spirit. You have blackouts. You don't remember things. Come out. That blackout spirit. Come out right now. That blackout spirit, we command you to go right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Any molestation spirits, go. In Jesus' name. The spirit of vulgarity, you come out. Being vulgar. Being vulgar, joining in with nasty conversations or starting nasty conversations, being vulgar. All that vulgarity, come out now in the name of Jesus. That vulgar, nasty spirit, come out. That foul spirit of vulgarity, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go all the way out. That fixation spirit causing people to look at people's private parts and keep staring at them. I've had people do that. They just got that fixation and they can't help it. And I've talked to some later that said they were doing that and they had that spirit. They couldn't help, but our eyes were always drawn down to the private parts, always looking at the men's private parts or men looking at women's private parts. You know, yeah, that has to go. All that fixation on private parts, come out in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Fixation on private parts or some other unclean thing. Come out. All that fixation on uncleanness, fixation on looking at things that shouldn't be staring at. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fixation on the genitals. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. All the way, come on, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, come out, come out, come out. All the way, indecision, can't make a decision. You come out of there, that indecision spirit, indecisive, undecisive, can't decide. That indecision spirit, you come out, all the way out right now. Go in Jesus' name, indecision. I bind you, I break your hold over people. You come all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out. In Jesus' name, indecision, go. Go, 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 go. Self-consciousness over yourself and the way you look, over your body parts, over you and your face or your body. Come out, that self-consciousness over your body. Self-conscious over the way you look. Come out, that spirit that calls you to be always concerned how people might look and see you. Come out, all that self-consciousness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, 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 out. Come out, 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 come out. Always worried about what you little look like to people. Come out. So self-conscious about your ears, your nose, your face, your body. In Jesus' name, come out of there. All the way out. The blood is against you, demons. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Indecisive spirit, come out. TV addiction, come out, 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 come out of it. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name. Paranoia spirit, just being paranoid, come out. More people are getting paranoid than ever because they're legalizing pot in so many different states right now. They're getting a paranoid society. I think maybe they want that, you know, so everybody's afraid of each other and everything. Paranoia, it sounds like something the devil want to do, get everybody in paranoia. Paranoid pot makes a lot of people paranoid, you know. That's probably over half the people that smoke it get paranoid. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 all the way out. And not all of them that smoke it get that way, but many of them do. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All that paranoia, all that pot-smoking spirit, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, all that pot-smoking spirit, go in Jesus' name. The blood is against you, demon. The blood of Jesus is against these demons. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go all the way up and out, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to seal this deliverance and healing too to people's bodies in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, they are changed, Lord, physically, and they are delivered. Thank you for helping them to keep what they got. Seal this deliverance to them that they will keep their deliverance, keep their healing, and walk in it and see a difference in their physical state as well. Father, we thank you for miracles, signs, wonders, and healings and deliverances in Jesus' name tonight. Father, we thank you for your wonderful kindness to us, that you love us enough to minister to us like this. We praise you for ministering to us in these ways that you do. Father, they're wonderful. You're wonderful. And we appreciate you being with us every day, every moment of every day. Divine protection. We break any curses against any one of you that's listening, including myself. We just break any and all curses of destruction, accident, and satanic hexes, vexes, spells, and jinxes. We cancel them and send them back where they came from in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, folks, it's another program, another church service, another meeting together here on the radio, Broad Talk Radio program tonight, and I appreciate you being here. And so we'll see you back next week. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you. In Jesus' name, the Lord be with you. Bye-bye. Rain, rain, spirit rain, falling to me.
Rain, rain, the last day's rain falling on me. Rain, rain, louder rain falling on me. Rain, rain, the former rain falling on me. Rain, rain, it brings a flood. Everybody cry now. Falling on me. Everybody bring it down now. Everybody call for the rain down. Raining on me. The light of rain.
That latter rain fall on us, amen. Just keep pouring down the rain on us. Rain on me, Lord. Rain on me. Thank you, Jesus. Rain on you, too. Yeah. I pray the rain falls on you, the Holy Spirit rain. The Bible says in the latter days, he will pour out his Spirit. Amen. There'll be an early rain and a latter rain. And we're going to partake of it. We're going to be blessed by it. We are being blessed by it. I've seen a lot of it in my lifetime, and I thank God for more And I thank God for more for you. And if you never experience any, I pray you get some. Because it's good. And God is good. And he loves you. And he wants to bless you. And he wants to keep you in his arms of love every day, all the time. Yeah, because he cares so much about you and me. He cares about us. He loves us dearly. You know, we're so precious to him. And we need to remember that and think that way about our daily life instead of putting ourselves down and thinking we're separated from God and looking at all our faults and failures, which is what the devil wants you to do, because we all have plenty of those. But, hey, the Lord's not looking at that. He's looking at the blood of Jesus. And what that blood has done has made you acceptable to him, where he can just look upon you with great love and compassion. Oh, how he has compassion for us. Amen. Well, all right. Well, we love you. You have a good weekend, folks. And God bless you. And we'll see you back here next Friday night. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.